Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
They called him Top Hat Eddie. Top Hat Eddie. Eddie Sotomayor was witty, he was sarcastic, he was loyal to a fault, and he loved his top hat. On Saturday night, he posted a video just this past Saturday night to Facebook of a friend who had stolen his signature accessory while partying at the nightclub Pulse. He said, "He's trying to steal my top hat, and I just lay in bed and I laugh because he was so happy and he was so funny," said Ryan McCauley, 27, who was scrolling through his Facebook feed before turning in for the night. The next morning, McCauley's phone woke him up when breaking news alerts went off, a mass shooting at Pulse. He jumped with shock and fell out of bed. He called Sotomayor a dozen times, but each time it went to voicemail. No one else knew what had happened to him. Sadly, Eddie's name was the first listed among the dead when it came out publicly starting yesterday. And of course, I'm referring to just this horrible tragedy that just took place, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, in American history, at the Pulse, which is a gay nightclub down in the Orlando area. And of course, now revised estimates, 49 dead and at least another 40 still critically wounded. Just a horrific, horrific incident. And it's horrific in and of itself. It becomes even more challenging, especially in the vein of conservative Christianity and evangelical Christianity and Christian and conservative talk radio, because of the whole LGBT aspect, because of the whole quote unquote gay aspect of this. And was it an act of terrorism? Was it an act of fundamental Islamic terrorism? Was it just radical ideology? Was it anti-LGBT? And it didn't take long, of course, for the sides to be gathered up and for the lines to be drawn and the narrative to be controlled. So the question for you and for me now is, how do we deal with this? As Americans, yes, as neighbors, primarily as biblical followers of Jesus Christ, how do we deal with this? How are you reacting? What are you hearing? What did you think originally? I mean, is it different for you because this was at a prominent, and I think it had been open for about 15 years, Pulse, the nightclub down there in Orlando, which was specifically a gay club. Did that change it for you? Not that I would expect you, if it somehow struck you differently, I wouldn't expect you to call in today and share that, but maybe you would be brave enough, if that's your case, to say, yeah, you know what? I struggled with it. And certainly there's no lack of that out there, and you see the battle lines being drawn immediately. I'm here in St. Louis. My good friends at Bot Radio, KSIV here in St. Louis, and Bot Radio, a great Christian radio network that's been around for over 50 years now. And Dick Bot and his son Rich have been friends of mine for years, and they're kind enough to help me out when I'm running around and happen to be about, 15 minutes away from the studio that I'm in here, overlooking the great city of St. Louis. And we're just on the outside of downtown, kind of into the suburban part of the area. But I'm in town for Harvest Crusades, and Pastor Greg Laurie, he's speaking tonight. It's the annual Southern Baptist Convention, the big nationwide convention, which starts with 2 days for pastors, a day and a half really, started last night, and then all day today. And we have a large Harvest America Harvest display there. Pastor Greg is speaking tonight. And then unbeknownst to me, until about yesterday at about 6 o'clock in the evening, all of a sudden, I have 3 minutes that I have to get up and exhort my fellow Southern Baptist pastors and their wives and other leaders. There's probably going to be 4,000 or 5,000 people in the room tonight, following up on a Harvest America video, the recap of what happened, what God did back in March down in Dallas, which is nothing short of miraculous. And over the course of the last year and a half, we've been talking to the Southern Baptist Convention about doing a crusade in conjunction with the annual Southern Baptist Convention meeting. And that conversation started a year and a half ago, and God has opened that door. So next summer on June 10th in Phoenix, Arizona, that's where the national convention is for the Southern Baptists. Saturday night, before it all starts, we're going to be doing another Harvest America, which will involve a nationwide effort They're at the Phoenix Stadium, the University of Phoenix Stadium, which seats about 65,000 people. And, of course, the goal to reach that local community, to engage people across America with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were 7,000 host locations this past March with Harvest America when we were down at AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. And that's the hope and the prayer for next year, that big or bigger, in conjunction with the Southern Baptist Convention, of which there's about 45,000 affiliated Southern Baptist churches in America. So my job tonight is in 3 minutes or less to exhort my fellow Southern Baptists to get all over this. And what happened in Orlando is just another example of why America, and in fact the rest of the world, needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed clearly and boldly and unapologetically and given a rather aggressive opportunity to respond to that gospel, and it works whenever it's tried. And that's ultimately what we're going to be talking about today is the gospel of Jesus Christ as we try to work our way through this story. But it is a difficult story. It's a tragedy if you're not praying for the people in Orlando, if you're not praying for the families of the lost and the injured, then you're in the wrong. And we need to work on that. We need to be praying for these people, every one of them, gay or otherwise, LGBTQ or whatever. Every one of them made in the image of God, and because of that, they were worthy of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and he died for them as much as he died for you, my heterosexual friend. So please don't forget that, and let's be lifting up these people that are involved in this tragedy, the families, the friends, the whole community, and in fact, the whole nation, because you see, as I mentioned as we started the show, the battle lines have been drawn. The stories are going one direction or the other, right up to President Obama's comments. I was listening to CNN this morning. I'm going to play these clips for you here in a little bit. Clay Aiken. Now, I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. Clay Aiken, you may remember that voice. He was on American Idol, and I think he came in second that year. But he's an openly homosexual guy. He actually ran for Congress last year or 2 years ago. And he said some things, and the lady that is the president of GLAAD, which is a big homosexual activist group that really works within the public school arena, some things that they said, just pretty remarkable. So we're going to be talking about that. You're going to hear what they said, and that's going to show you kind of where this narrative is going. I was wondering early on, how long is it going to take before anybody that stands with the word of God is part of the problem here, as opposed to putting the problem squarely where it belongs, which is at the foot of Islam and the teachings of Muhammad and the teachings of his prophet and in Allah and the Quran and the Hadith and all the nations around the world that operate closely under Sharia law. And that's what drove this man to it. It's not what God says about the issue of homosexuality or any other issue. It's what Islam has done. This man, a fundamental, hardcore Islamic fundamentalist, fueled by his rage, fueled by hate right from the devil himself. And that's why he walked into that nightclub and gunned down 49 people in cold blood. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. I'm going to try to open up to your calls as well, but we'll be right back after this.
Because you are more than I could ever dream.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, coming to you live from St. Louis, Missouri, here for the annual Southern Baptist Convention and with my friends and my buddy Dave Powell here at Bot Radio Network, KSIV in St. Louis, and really appreciate those guys helping me out. They've done that before, and they were ready, willing, able, and happy to help again. So just praise the Lord for that. That's a great answer to prayer. My regular connectivity, which I have this little box that looks kind of, well, suspicious, especially when you're walking through an airport with it. I just didn't have fast enough internet where I was, so I needed to find another way, and God reopened this great door with Bot. So I really appreciate these guys. Very, very helpful. So talking today, of course, about what just happened in Orlando over the weekend at the Pulse, the nightclub, a gay club, which is part of the conversation today because the narrative's gone in that direction. And you can hear it. It didn't take long for these things to start going and for people to kind of draw on a line in the sand and politicize it and use it for your own personal agenda. I'm going to read in the last segment of the show today just a great article. Russell Moore is a Southern Baptist. He's the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission. He wrote a great piece that just came out called After Orlando, Can We Still Weep Together? Which is a great question. We politicize everything. We don't even take the time to weep together as fellow Americans, fellow human beings, people made in the image of God. We immediately, unfortunately, a large portion of us will just draw the lines and into the narrative we go. So I'm gonna get to that in the last segment of the show. And if you want to react to this and just share how you're experiencing this, does it change it for you? I'm just gonna ask a tough question. Has it been different for you? Has it kind of, I hate to say this, but has it taken the edge off a little of the tragedy because it was a gay bar? And perhaps that's just a question you need to deal with between you and the Lord. But how are you reacting to what you're seeing in the media, on social media, on news, be it conservative or otherwise? Because right now, anybody that in the past as opposed to quote unquote the homosexual agenda, if you're against gay marriage, if you're against the bathroom situation, and you're for men and women's bathrooms based on biology and all that stuff, people like you and people like me, all of a sudden, I'm seeing plenty of stuff out there today that we're right there as potentially part of the blame. So I'm going to play these two clips for you. This is from CNN this morning. Clay Aiken, who's from North Carolina, where I'm from, who was on American Idol, ran for Congress recently, openly homosexual guy. And then the lady that's the president of GLAAD. GLAAD is a national organization, kind of a homosexual activist organization, really focuses on high schools and middle school type age. But they were asked in this conversation on CNN about, you know, where did this come from? Why did it happen? First up will be Clay Aiken.
You know, people see this, whatever was at the root of this hideous crime, in different ways. Some call it Islamic terror, some call it mental illness, some call it homophobia. How do you see it, Clay?
I mean, it's a hate crime, no matter how you slice it. I mean, I've been inundated over the past few hours with people who've sent me a lot of information about how hateful Islam is against homosexuals, against gays and lesbians and transgender. And I have to remind them that, you know what, this is a homegrown problem too. And we can scapegoat it and blame it on Islam just because the person who had the gun happened to be Muslim. But he grew up in America, and he grew up with people, with politicians here telling him and giving him the example through laws and legislation that it's okay to discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation. And so this is the problem right here in America, whether it's terrorism from Islam or not.
Now, I'm hoping that when you hear Clay Aiken's comments, as I did this morning, that bugs you. That should upset you. But let me remind you, Clay Aiken, as far as I can tell, outside of the faith, I think he grew up in a Christian home, but he, you know, refuses to submit at least that part of his life and that part of his worldview to what the scripture clearly teaches. But did you hear what he was talking about there? I mean, and unfortunately, that's kind of common right now. That's the common narrative. He happened to be Islamic. He happened to be a Muslim, but it's really a homegrown problem is another phrase that he used, because we oppose some people like you and probably most of you and me. We oppose gay marriage. We oppose homosexuality in terms of it being a legitimate lifestyle. Well, we take a stand against that. And then when it comes to the transgender issue, well, somebody like Clay Aiken, because his mind, and this is going to sound condescending, but because his mind is so darkened, he's so sold over to his sin. And on this particular issue, he takes his stand. And so he's talking about it being homegrown. We've had this problem in America. He just happened to be a Muslim. No, Clay, it's not that he happened to be a Muslim. His Islamic fundamentalism is what drove him to do this. It wasn't some Christian who believes in traditional marriage or God's definition of marriage. It's not some man or woman, traditional binary thinking person who thinks that bathrooms should really be for men and women in terms of their actual biology rather than how they feel about their gender. The actual blame here is Islam. And at the heart of Islam is the heart of the devil himself. Because Satan doesn't come up with any of his own material. He just takes what God puts out there, and then he twists it, and he perverts it. And so you've got Clay Aiken, who's clueless, for example, probably that there's 12 countries around the world where homosexual acts can be punished by death. America, Clay, is not one of them. Afghanistan, Brunei, Iran, Iraq, Nigeria, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, Clay, and anybody else that would claim this narrative, when's the last time you went after Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, who, of course, decries when there's a religious freedom movement in America and goes ballistic about North Carolina trying to keep boys' bathrooms for the boys and girls' bathrooms for the girls? Yet Tim Cook and Apple, they have 12 stores in Saudi Arabia, Apple stores, six of which are in Mecca, where in Saudi Arabia they imprison, beat, torture, chemically castrate and murder homosexuals. And that is the cause. Islam, fundamental Islam in particular, and that is where you find the cause of what Mateen did with several weapons at the Pulse nightclub. Yet there's Clay wanting to say that it's, well, it's because here in America we fight against the homosexual agenda, and I say fight metaphorically, and you oppose it, and so you're part of the problem. That the problem with Mateen is he grew up in America. That's his problem. You want to understand why he went into a gay nightclub and killed 49 people in cold blood, a disgusting, despicable, horrible, evil act? You want to know why he did it? Because he was raised in America where a lot of people, especially you religious people, hate homosexuals and thinks it's okay to discriminate against them, and so you're to blame. That's basically what Clay Aiken's saying. And in my flesh, I'm like, I'm going to go down the street and yell at your mom because his mom lives in my neighborhood. I mean, you idiot. I mean, all this stuff goes through my head. But in my spirit, I'm like, here's a guy most likely that's just, he's blind. He's lost. His mind cannot work correctly. It's like he's crippled. It's like he has no legs and you're getting mad at him because he can't run. He doesn't have the ability to run. And when it comes to spiritual truths, including the spiritual truth of the lie and the evil that is Islam, that's spiritually discerned. And you need to have the spirit in order to be in that realm. And he quite obviously, sadly, doesn't. So you get that, and that's out there. And then, of course, our president's remarks when he went on television, he was talking about it. And of course, here's something he said. The fact that it took place at a club frequented by the LGBT community, in case you don't know what that means yet, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered, I think is also relevant. We're still looking at all the motivations of the killer. But it's a reminder that regardless of race, religion, faith, or sexual orientation, we're all Americans, and we need to be looking after each other and protecting each other at all times in the face of this kind of terrible act. So he's elevating the sexual orientation aspect of it. And then, of course, he has to get the gun control thing in there. So this is just another example, and it's getting worse every day, the divided states of America. How do we impact that as Christians? What's our role? How can we help to heal as opposed to hurt? This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We're going to pick it up there when we come back. Plenty of other things to talk about with respect to this. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. And I wish we had something lighter to talk about, but we don't. And as Christians living in not only the world, but specifically here in the United States of America, we need to kind of take all these things and sift them through a biblical worldview and hopefully a heart that's in line with the heart of Jesus Christ, who we claim to follow and love and try to obey. And so what do you do when this stuff happens? Because we live in a public environment on Facebook, on Twitter, on social media. It's already, you already see the lines drawn, which started yesterday. And that's an opportunity. We have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to shine a gospel witness. So we should be talking about praying for the people in Orlando, as opposed to some people who call themselves Christians who are actually taking some amount of joy in what happened there because they were homosexuals. And that is despicable. Despicable. Well, you know, it's the death penalty anyway. Do you understand the Bible at all? Do you know anything about what's applicable today from the Old Testament and what isn't? Do you understand the context of the Old Testament? Do you understand the context of any of the Old Testament laws that were written for the Jewish people at the time, the Israelites? Do you know that? Are you? But no, you know, because you can take that out of context and use it to feed your own twisted, sinful, hateful nature. That's why some people, like this so-called pastor, I'll read his comments in a minute if I don't throw up in my mouth. It's like Westboro Baptist Church. First of all, it's not a church. It's not Baptist. And it's 50 members, 49 of whom are related. And they're so messed up. Are they Christians? I don't know, but I kind of doubt it. How can you have no love in your heart for the lost and be a Christian? That's oil and water, friend. That's not Jesus Christ. That's a Jesus Christ of your making. That's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Before I get that, just a quick reminder. We want to do something about the gospel. We talk about this. I try to bring it up every day on the show. And our friends at Trans World Radio, the Caribbean island of Bonaire, where they are taking an existing Christian radio signal and they're blowing it up to about 400,000 watts, which will be the biggest signal in the Western Hemisphere, all for the purpose of reaching Cuba with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Cuba, by the way, where you do not want to be a homosexual in Cuba. There's no Pulse bar in Cuba. That ain't happening. In Cuba, homosexuals are treated as less than human there, too. So what do they need in Cuba? Obama? The normalized relations with America? Our goods and services? Our cruise ships? No, they need the gospel. So you can be a part of making that happen. Go to truthnetwork.com, truthnetwork.com, and you'll look for the little banner about Transworld Radio and trying to get the gospel into Cuba, and you can be a part of that. So here's a comment from Obama, and then I'm going to switch gears here for a second. So it's just like Clay Aiken. I played this clip from Clay Aiken earlier. Here's what President Obama said. As far as we can tell right now, this is certainly an example of the kind of homegrown extremism that all of us have been so concerned about for a very long time. How so, sir? How is this an example of homegrown extremism? Did I miss it? Did I miss this somewhere where we've had some homegrown anti-homosexual mass murders? Did I miss that somewhere? It also appears, this is the president, as he was able to obtain these weapons legally because he did not have a criminal record that in some ways would prohibit him from purchasing these weapons. And this is where a biblical worldview comes in. And you go, you know what? There's evil in the world. And that's not, you don't shrink it off and go, oh, that's just the way it is. Sorry, bro. There's evil in the world. No, we have to be smart about guns, but not as restrictive as what they're talking about. Because whether you like it or not, we still have allegedly freedom in America under the Second Amendment. Unless, of course, you're the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, who no longer thinks you have a right to conceal carry. Because that's not available in the Second Amendment, according to them. But the president doing this, all kinds of other leaders doing this, just jumping on the bandwagon. And my challenge to you, friend, is to make sure you don't do it. And I got to make sure I don't do it. This isn't about whether people are gay or not. This is about evil. It's about Islam. It's about hatred. And it's about the devil. And you know what the answer is? For Omar Mateen, it's too late now. He's finding out now. He is not in paradise. Omar Mateen is not hanging out with 72 virgins right now. Omar Mateen is in hell forever. And you better not laugh about that either. And neither should I. You think that's a victory? You think God's do a little jig because another evil person went to hell forever? No, God's desire is that none should perish, but all should come to faith or repentance in Jesus Christ, right? That's his desire. So when an evil person or somebody that you think is evil dies, horrifically or not, we need to make sure we never celebrate that. It's never funny. I want to play this other clip right quick. This is from the gal who's the president of GLAAD. GLAAD is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. You'll see again how this is kind of the way the narrative's going. For us as Christians, we have to be ready, willing, and able to answer this narrative. Let's play that clip.
This takes it to a new level. I think we'd all agree. I mean, obviously, the discrimination that you've felt and that others have felt is one thing, but to go on a massive killing spree, I mean, is just, obviously, it's unthinkable.
It is. However, we face violence in the LGBT community every single day. And I think to Clay's point, the legislation, we've seen over 100 anti-LGBT bills this past year, and that breeds hate and discrimination, and that ends up in violence. And something like that happened on Sunday morning is horrific at every level and is at a definite new level. But this is continuing. This is a continuation.
Yeah, it's not an isolated event. I mean, you went to Seattle. A gay club was burned down in Seattle just a few years ago.
Let's go ahead and cut that one. Okay, that's enough because I think you probably get the point. So here's what she's talking about. 100 pieces of anti-gay legislation, which breeds hate. Hate breeds violence. So, and what's anti-gay legislation? Well, because the United States Supreme Court, as of yet, has not elevated sexual orientation to a protected class. So you can't tell a church school, an elementary school, who doesn't want to hire a cross-dressing or a transgendered or a homosexual person. They have the right, based on their own religious conviction, to not hire that person. But one of these days, and one of these days is going to come here pretty quick, sexual orientation will be elevated to it. So it would be the same thing if the church says, sorry, we don't hire blacks. Can't do that. Can't do that. And nor should you. But sooner or later, sexual orientation will be on that list. But that's where she's going. Did you hear what she said? And this is like the president and others not being willing to say, well, it's a violent ideology. It's terrorism. What kind of terrorism? Violent terrorism. As if there's passive terrorism. So that's what she's saying. The head of GLAAD, Gay Lesbian Activation Network, whatever it's called, working mostly in schools around America. Legislation, anti-gay legislation, breeds hate. Hate breeds violence. That's why Omar Mateen killed 49 homosexuals, because he's been listening to Christian rhetoric for too long. That's where this is going. Now, here's something contrary to that. Let's talk about his dad, the pro-Taliban father of the Orlando terrorists. This is from Fox News, who slaughtered 49 people in a gay nightclub, released a video Monday, hours after the massacre, saying God will punish those involved in homosexuality. Sadiq Mateen, the Afghan-born father of gunman Omar Mateen, previously had distanced himself from his son's early Sunday attacks inside a Pulse nightclub. I didn't raise him that way, he said. We gave him enough love and care and education that he knew better. If this guy, his father, most likely, is a fundamental Muslim, do you know what taqiyya is? Taqiyya. No, not tequila, popping a shooter and, you know, knock it back. Taqiyya is the Islamic practice of lying to your enemies to advance the cause. Okay? So if you got a fundamental Muslim, that's why you can't, hello, Mr. Obama, you can't negotiate with a fundamental Muslim, because they're going to lie to your face, and that brings honor to Allah. So when he's sitting there saying, after the attacks, oh, hey, we didn't raise him this way. But then later you find a video he posted on the same day, God will punish those involved in homosexuality, and his dad, Sadiq's a nut job too. You go look at that. I mean, it's obvious. He's a total nut job. He thinks he's the current president of Afghanistan, by the way. Did you hear that? So his dad, so it's not anti-gay legislation, ma'am, that breeds hatred and violence. It's Islam. In this case, it's Islam. It's Muhammad. Yeah, I just said that. WWJD, got your WWJD bracelet on? Get your WWMD bracelet on. What would Muhammad do? So, read what he wrote, look at what he did, and what do you get? ISIS. That's what you get. So let's go to this one. This is really disgusting. And pastor, quote unquote, Pastor Stephen Anderson of Faithful Word Baptist Church in Nowhereville, America, needs to be defrocked and taken to the woodshed for claiming to represent Jesus Christ. This is really disgusting, but this is what we have to deal with. And it's not enough, friend, to sit there and say, well, he's no Christian. That's no church. Then we have to go way further than that and realize that we're operating from a deficit as people that love Jesus and are supposed to be a biblical follower of his in the context of the United States of America. You have to go further than just disassociating yourself from some nut job like this guy, Stephen Anderson of Faithful Word Baptist Church. Makes me want to yak. You have to go further. Besides the fact that scripture says to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. You're at a major deficit as soon as it comes out that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. A major deficit, spiritual and otherwise. And so that's why John chapter 1, verse 14, I keep reminding all of us, mostly myself, this, Jesus full of grace and truth. We pound the truth, and we know the truth, right? Culture war feels good. Self-righteousness, it's addictive. We forget the grace part. So if you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. Yep, got that. But if you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. Jesus full of grace and truth. So when we come back real quick, you got to hear this, because you got to realize that it's out there, and we have to be the opposite. We have to be an answer to some people that claim to be Christians too, with the love and grace and compassion and mourning of Jesus Christ. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio, live from St. Louis with our friends at Bot Radio. We'll be right back. Are you who you want to be? What a good question. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, live from our friends, the Bot Radio Network here in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm here with the Southern Baptist Annual Convention. Pray for me tonight at about, I think it's about a couple minutes before 9 Eastern time. I have exactly 3 minutes, which I'm never constrained to 3 minutes, but I have exactly 3 minutes to get up and exhort 5,000 Southern Baptist pastors and leaders to be involved with the Harvest America campaign, which we're doing in conjunction with the Southern Baptist Convention next year in Phoenix. They usually do this thing called Crossover, which is an effort to reach the local community with the gospel. But I respect that they do it, but it's not nearly as big as it should be. When the biggest evangelistic denomination really on the planet shows up in your city, we should do more than sleep in your hotels and eat your food. The gospel should be everywhere. So this conversation began about a year and a half ago, and God's opened that door. So we'll be doing that next June 10th in Phoenix at the University of Phoenix Stadium, which seats about 65,000 people. It's a closed stadium to reach Phoenix and to reach the rest of the nation, as many people as we can, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and partnering officially this time with the Southern Baptist Convention on that, where there are 45,000 affiliated association churches around the country. Now, if we actually got serious about the gospel, could you imagine what could happen? Because on one night in March earlier this year, you know that, I've broadcast from there. We've talked about it enough with Harvest America. 25,000 professions of faith in about a 20-minute span at the end of a straightforward gospel proclamation by Pastor Greg Laurie, and that's what I have to do tonight in 3 minutes or less to my fellow Southern Baptists, and I'm not there to make friends. I'm there to make an impact. So pray for me that I'll handle that well and stick to the timeline, which is going to be a challenge. So here's, and remember this, so with homosexual, especially more active ones, LGBT community, transgender stuff. What I'm about to read to you from a so-called pastor, Stephen Anderson of Faithful Word Baptist Church in Nowhere, America. This is what they think we're like. Okay, not all of them do, but many of them do, as we've quote-unquote opposed the homosexual activist movement for 30, 40 years and all that stuff. This is what they think we're like. And this is he calls himself a pastor of a actual quote-unquote church. The good news is, this is a direct quote, that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who is a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control. So that's the angle he takes, and he comes back with this. Now, let me be real clear. I've never advocated for violence. I don't believe in, you know, taking the law into your own hands. I would never go in and shoot up a gay bar. I don't believe it is right for us just to be a vigilante. But I will say this. The Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway. But they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed. So, you know, the good news is that at least 50 of these pedophiles are not going to be harming children anymore. This is the so-called pastor. And you should, and I'm quite confident that you do, find his comments to be deplorable, disgusting. You say, is he a Christian? How could he be? But he's out there. Westboro Baptist Church, they're out there saying what they're saying, doing what they're doing. And so we get labeled or tagged with that understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's there. Now, not every homosexual, not every person that's kind of anti-Christianity thinks like that, but enough of them do. That's the deficit that we operate out of. And the question becomes, and we talk about it every week here on Call to Action, how do we respond to that? What should we respond to it? What's our place in this culture? Jesus guaranteed that we would be persecuted. He guaranteed it. But he also, with a little smile on his face and a little hop, skip, and a jump in his step, said, hey, but don't worry. I've overcome the world. They persecuted me first. They're going to persecute you too. But don't worry. I've overcome the world. It's going to be okay. But in the meantime, one of the greatest things we can do for the cause of Christ is suffer well. And when it comes to this issue, to quit thundering just the truth and remember that Jesus was full of both grace and truth. So Russell Moore, Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, I'll get through as much of this as I can. This is beautifully written. This is really well done. I can agree with this 100%. And I think it's our clarion call when it comes especially to something like what happened at the Pulse Gay Nightclub in Orlando as followers of Jesus Christ. Do you think Jesus was clapping like sicko pastor guy does? Of course not. We woke up Sunday morning to the news of the worst mass shooting in American history as a terrorist murdered and injured over 100 people in a gay nightclub in Orlando. In the aftermath, we've seen some of the best aspects of America. People lining up, for example, to give blood for the victims. We've also seen some of the worst, as the aftermath turned into an excuse for social media wars over everything from gun control to presidential politics. What I wonder is whether this country still has the capacity to grieve together in moments of national crises. When we're accustomed to seeing news in real time on our television screens and on our phones, it is sometimes easy to forget that the news we are viewing is real. At least 50 people, created in the image of God, were slaughtered in cold blood. Families who were waiting to see their loved ones are finding out today that they will never see them again in this life. That ought to drive us to mourn. Our nation has shared moments of crisis and tragedy before. Think of Pearl Harbor when the country rallied around President Roosevelt and toward a common purpose of defeating the Axis powers. Think of the John Kennedy assassination when the country, even the Kennedy's family's enemies, seemed to grieve together. Think of September 11th, before the fracturing of the Iraq War, when the country looked to commonly cultural expressions from the service at the National Cathedral to the cold open of Saturday Night Live for a sense of lament together. It seems now, though, that there's rarely a time of grieving together. The time of lament morphs almost immediately into arguments over what the president should have said or whether this validates or annihilates someone's view of guns or immigration or whatever. Some of that, of course, is just the speed of social media. People are able to discuss, rather publicly, issues much quicker than they could before, but there seems to be more than that. Our national divisions increasingly make it difficult for us not to just work together, but even to pause and weep together. We become more concerned about protecting ourselves from one another's political pronouncements than we do with mourning with those who mourn. And by the way, that passage, mourn with those who mourn, I think I read that somewhere. In some ways, then, national crises like this one feel less like the 1963 John Kennedy assassination than like the attempted George Wallace assassination of 1972. Reports are that some within the Nixon administration, arguably even the president himself, contemplated planting George McGovern campaign literature in the would-be assailant Arthur Bremer's apartment. The shooting in Laurel, Maryland was about, for them, the campaign itself. That sort of cynicism is, ultimately, dehumanizing. So how then do we weep with those who weep? Let's call our congregations to pray together. Let's realize that, in this case, our gay and lesbian neighbors are likely quite scared. Who wouldn't be? Demonstrate the sacrificial love of Jesus to them. We don't have to agree on the meaning of marriage and sexuality to love one another and see the murderous sin of terrorism. Let's also pray for our leaders who have challenging decisions to make in the midst of crises. Let's mobilize our congregations and others to give blood for the victims. Let's call for governing authorities to do their primary duty of keeping its people safe from evildoers. And let's bear patiently with those who jump the gun in arguing about the politics on social media. For many of them, the jump to talk about gun control or Islam or military preparedness or any other issue isn't so much about pontificating as it is about frustration. They, like all of us, want this horror to end, and they want to do something, even if that's just expressing themselves on Twitter. As the body of Christ, though, we can love and serve and weep and mourn, and we can remind ourselves and our neighbors that this is not the way it is supposed to be. We mourn, but we mourn in the hope of a kingdom where blood is not shed and where bullets never fly. That's Russell Moore. After Orlando, can we still weep together? And that, friend, is the message, ultimately, on top of all of this, that I needed to hear, and that I'm sure you needed to hear, too. So where do we go? What do we do? Mind your P's and Q's on social media. Don't throw things around lightly. These are 49 people, plus the gunman himself, murdered in cold blood. And that's a tragedy. Gay, heterosexual, lesbian, transgendered, married, unmarried, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, every one of them created in the image of God. Every one of them Jesus died for. And let that be the clarion call, or at least the background music of every comment that we make, or even more so, the comments that we think about making but shouldn't. You've heard me say this before. Sometimes I tell my kids this. Sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do is shut up. Say nothing. We don't always have to talk. We don't always have to react. We don't have to get the 140 characters out there. We don't have to post on Facebook every day. Sometimes, just imagine if all we did was pray. So let's pray for the people in Orlando. Let's pray for the church to respond well. Let's pray for maybe people in the LGBT community to question, what is life really all about? What happened to my friends or these fellow gay people that died in Orlando the other night? I wonder where they went. I wonder if they went to heaven. How does one get to heaven anyway? All those types of questions now are on the table. And please, at least for the next week, don't quote Romans 8:28. don't do that. That's actually unloving to just throw it out there like that. But let's make sure we're speaking with truth and love and grace. Make sure we're praying and really mind your P's and Q's on social media. Tomorrow I'll be back down in Atlanta and broadcasting from there for the rest of the week. And we'll be talking about a lot of different things. Got Theology Thursday coming up. So we'll go down these roads. We'll continue to pay attention to what's going on in the news. But let's not be like the news. Let's be the good news. Let's show love and grace and compassion. Let's mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep. Whether you agree with their lifestyle or not, totally irrelevant. They're made in the image of God. It was a tragedy that they died, and we should mourn simply because of that. I'd like to thank my good friends here at Bot Radio here in St. Louis. I'll be on a plane uber early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. or something. It's like I did something wrong. I'm getting punished for it. Pray for me tonight, please, about 8:55 p.m. Central Time, closer to 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever. Just pray for me. I got to talk to 5,000 Southern Baptist pastors for 3 minutes. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.